Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, sports world? Welcome to Locker Room Talk Radio, brought to you by All Day Sports USA. I'm your host, Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, the one who knows about the X's and O's.
It's your man, Professor X Factor, a.k.a. Angry Man. Go ahead and take out your textbooks. Take a seat, shut your mouth. Class is in session.
Yep. And ladies and gentlemen... Oh, man. Hey, we're coming today. And ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, I got my brother on the line, NYC's finest. My man, Q, is in the building. What's going on, Q?
Yo, yo.
What's good, baby? Yo. How you doing, man?
A lot of people want to eat tonight, apparently. Shit.
I'm gonna tell you, frustrated as hell.
Let me tell you this right now. Okay, the attendance of Giants fans has decreased every week since week one. All of a sudden, the Cowboys coming to town. It's a full damn house. Mind you, it's still probably 55-45 split between Cowboys and Giants fans, but that's not the point. The point is, everybody wants food at the same time. You better take that shit to the concession stand, get a hot dog, shit. That's not my fault. You better talk to Mara.
I know that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, just to let everybody know who's listening, that's my man. That's our brother, Executive Chef Q Drake, for man. He's at MetLife Stadium right now, feeding all the wonderful people out there in tonight's matchup against the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys. Man, hey, I know you got some cornbread up there, Q. I know you do. I know you do.
Hell no. Shit. We're going to
have somebody. We're going to have somebody who's going to be an asshole and ask for regular cornbread. I don't want the honey butter kind. I want regular.
Shit. We're going to be cooking as we go.
Shit. Oh, Lord.
That's right. One 12 wants another batch. What are they going to get in a half hour? Shit, I'll have another batch when Daniel Jones scores something.
Yo,
shit.
Boy, you crazy,
bro.
You crazy.
Well, hey, ladies, hey, the way that boy playing, I might have 3 weeks to be able to
do it. Thank you. Hey, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to episode 43 of Locker Room Talk Radio. We do the real raw radio for the real sports fan. The number to call is 858-777-8433. And make sure you call. When you do call, let your voice be heard and press 1 on your mobile device because if you press 1, we can't hear you. So we're going to go ahead and get into it, man. Here at Locker Room Talk Radio, we like to open up each show with a segment called Dominant Athletes and Media News, or what we like to call it here at Locker Room Talk Radio. Damn. Of course we're going to get into this game, man. Everybody, it's a damn 24-hour celebration, man. Yes, this is the hottest thing that everybody's talking about this game. Yesterday, Sunday night bout between the New England Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens, the New England Patriots happened to lose to the Baltimore Ravens 20-37. Last night, I went on Instagram, I went on Facebook, I went on social media, and I'm going to go ahead and put this out there first as a disclaimer. Yes, I was happy as hell that the Baltimore Ravens, because it was who? Lamar Jackson for president. Lamar Jackson did whatever the hell he wanted to do, as long as, and Melvin Ingram, he did whatever the hell he wanted to do too. But let me just go ahead and just say this before I get to my panel. Yes, I was happy that they lost. Let me just go ahead and say this now for all the Patriots fans who are listening, who just are quick just to jump down my throat because I said that. Yes, I know it's only one game. So go ahead and get all that out. Yes, I know it's only one game. And yes, I know they're still going to go to the playoffs. And yes, I know they have the best shot than any other team to still go to the Super Bowl. I know that. So let's just get all that out the way now. But we ain't there yet. We're here now. And here now, I'm going to go ahead and gloat. At the end of the day, all I cared about was the Patriots fans thinking that they were going to go undefeated. Now we know that you're not. And me and Professor actually was talking about, and me and Executive was talking about two different occasions, that the Baltimore Ravens would be the team to beat them. And they did.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the end of the day, I'm going to say this. I'm going to go ahead and read these numbers, and then I'm going to get both of your perspectives on the game last night. Lamar Jackson.
I would like to go first. I'd like you to submit my request.
Yeah,
okay. Okay.
Well, I didn't even see the shit.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
I appreciate that.
Okay, got you. So let me go ahead and read these stats off real quick. Lamar Jackson was 17 for 23 for 163 yards passing in the air. He averaged 7.1 yards a carry. However, he did carry the ball 16 times for 61 yards. Mark Ingram, 15 carries for 115, averages 7.7 yards a carry. This game was just crazy. And at the end of the day, it just goes to show you, in a passing lead right now, sometimes you got to go back old school. Old school works sometimes. Just because it's not popular right now doesn't mean it don't work. Possession of the clock is everything. Possession of the ball is everything. Hard-nosed football is everything. The Patriots got punched in the damn mouth. They were playing physical, hard-nosed football. They kept the ball on the ground. They didn't do what the damn Atlanta Falcons did in the Super Bowl. They didn't try to go back and forth in the air with Tom Brady, because we all know Tom Brady, and when it comes to a passing attack, you can't compete with that guy. You can't. And that's what that's what the Baltimore Ravens, they realized. And John Harbaugh was no damn dummy. You know what he said? I'm going to keep doing what I do until you can stop it. And they could not stop Evan Ingram at all. So that's all I got to say on that one. But I'm going to go to Executive, and then I'm going to go to Professor if he wants to add anything to it. Executive, you got the floor, man. The game yesterday, 20-34.
I appreciate that.
Baltimore Ravens.
I got four things to say. The first out of four things I'm going to say is this.
I'm with you on that one.
Had to give myself a hammer.
It's a hammer. I know that's like give myself the whole system. Go ahead.
Oh man, I had to get that off. Yeah, I've been holding that in. I had to get that off. The second thing I'd like to say is I told you in August, I said it before the season started, I put my stamp down on the Baltimore Ravens, winning the division,
absolutely
going to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
and even challenging for the Super Bowl. Then when it came to the week they had to play Patrick Mahomes, I doubled down. Mm-hmm. Everybody chose the Chiefs to win. I doubled down.
I
had
you.
To go against my own men because they both my boys.
Gotcha.
They both, I love them. I love them both. I do.
No, I got you.
But I'm always for the underdog. Always for the underdog. So I had to double down. Now, yes, they lost that game.
Right.
They won the one that matters. The one that matters.
Right.
Now, the third thing I'd like to say is I took a lot of bets, financial bets, wages. wages, financial challenges, you know, whatever you'd like to call it, gambles.
Mm.
And I decided to go to bed at the beginning of the fourth quarter last night. I said, you know what? Game's over. I'm done. They said, what? Mm. What do you mean the game's over? We took a whole fourth quarter. I said, no. Game's over. I'm going to go to bed.
Mm.
They said, what? This Tom Brady, he's a GOAT. He always comes back. I said, yeah, talk is getting cheaper and cheaper as it progress in my world, the older I get, the less talk is worth. So I said, either put your money where your mouth is, or shut up. So he said, double or nothing. I said, ooh. He said, ha ha, go watch the game now? I said, nope, I'm still going to bed.
And have my money before you leave.
So to the 14 people that owed me money from the game last night, you all have until Friday at close of business Eastern Standard Time to pay me my money. Some of y'all are out of car milk. Some of y'all are out of mortgage. I get it. It's irrelevant to me.
God,
I know where you live. Have me my money. Now the fourth, and I don't think I'd like to get off my tab, is the fact that I ain't got shit to say. There's nothing else to say. Talk about it's one game. Yeah, it's one game you lost. Talk about you gonna go undefeated. Y'all ain't never been undefeated.
That's what I was going. Right.
You ain't never been undefeated. There's been one undefeated team in history, and that's Miami. Nice little segue to Miami. Damn. They
That's all I'm saying.
They still won. I'm not gonna get on topic because I know I didn't go last. But damn. Sorry, New England. Y'all a bunch of clam chowders. I don't know what it is, but if you really look, and I don't give a damn if you're a Brady fan, a Patriots fan, a Boston fan, a New England fan, or just a hater of all of the teams, so you're riding the Patriot bandwagon. I don't care what you are. But if you really, really break it all the way down, the Patriots, out of their 6 championships, really earned 2 of them. Yes, they may have won 6, but 4 of them, 4 out of those other 4, 2 of them they got beaten. The other 2, they played nobody, you know. And they just so happened to win in the end. Like, you know, it's still a whole other topic, and I apologize for my effort. But it's hard for me to call Brady the GOAT when any one person has been in one system under one leadership forever in the weakest division. That's like being an average heavyweight and never have fought another heavyweight. You only fought welterweights and featherweights. Every year in your division, that's all you're fighting. So do I give credit to the high school bully that beats up middle schoolers? Nope, not really. Next.
Let me get the professor, man. I got you, man. Let me get the professor. Before I come to you, professor, I just wanted to let everybody know who this, because you said you didn't see the game. I want to ask you this question, and this is the reason why I'm posing this question to you, because you did not see the game. 20-37. Some people said it's a blowout. Some people said it wasn't a blowout. Now, what to you makes a blowout? Because they lost by 17 points. That's 2 touchdowns and a field goal. So, is it a blowout by 17 points or not? 37-20.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
It's a convincing loss, that is. Is it a blowout? No.
Okay.
But it, because like Q went to bed last night, a whole lot of motherfuckers that didn't. And the reason why you did is because you've seen Brady do that shit before.
Before. Absolutely.
So that's not a blowout. And they're not even that. I did see the highlights. The last touchdown Baltimore scored, there was less than 4 minutes left on the fucking clock. So let's, I get what the scoreboard said, but, I mean, yeah, that's not really, I can see if they came out and did some wild shit, like put up 40 points in the first half. did some Donovan McNabb. My job just got threatened. I'm gonna throw 500 yards. Okay, they're not gonna be like, okay, yeah, they just got blown the fuck out. But
okay.
That's not the way that that game went. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it was. I think it was from the highlights I saw. It seemed to be a fairly entertaining game. But I haven't even looked at the damn stats of the game. I don't even know what the stats are. But
it was a dominating game. It wasn't a blowout. It was a dominating game. It wasn't a blowout.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I got you.
From a score standpoint, it would have been a blowout if it was 37-7.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the fourth quarter, and then the last 13 points was basically given to them because Lamar Jackson is seeded, and they took out a couple of these star players because they up by 30. So those little grunge time points don't even count. That would have still been a blowout if it ended 37-20 and New England was the last team scoring in the last 4 minutes just to get to 20. But 37-20, that's almost basically still two scores, because if it was 36-20, that means with two touchdowns and two-point conversions, I can tie the game.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, hold that thought for 1 second. We'll have a caller on the line. I'm going to let this caller call.
Oh, Lord.
Let me mute. 310 area code 310. Caller, you are on the air. Speak on it, man. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey guys, Tom. How you doing?
Tom, how you doing, Tom? How you feeling?
Los Angeles, where I'm calling from. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I literally just tuned in. You know what? I might have accidentally hit one, but not really sure what you guys are talking about yet. But if you let me know, I can hop in.
You know what, Tom? I'll tell you what, man. Hey, we love all our fans here, so what are we going to do? We were talking about the Sunday night game last night between the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens beating the Patriots 37-20. A lot of people were convinced that there was a blowout. Some people didn't think it was a blowout. But a lot of people are harping on this win for the Ravens because the Patriots were trying to go for an undefeated season. Did you happen to see the game yesterday?
I did.
What are your thoughts about the game? What was your thoughts about the Ravens beating the Patriots? Or do you have just thoughts on, was it the Patriots? Did they lose the game, or did the Baltimore Ravens just flat out beat them? Your thoughts.
I mean, unfortunately, as much as I don't like the Patriots at this point, I think without a doubt the Ravens won that game. Beat the Patriots, you have to beat them because they're not gonna give you the game. But at the same time,
right.
Like, as much as I want the Patriots to go away, regular season losses, as we've seen, they've lost. But, like, there are games where we're all ready to bury them. And yet at the end of the season, there they are, the Super Bowl again. So, unfortunately, I think Lamar Jackson, I'm just really excited for him. I'm really glad to finally see a quarterback. You know, who's not giving in to, like, oh, you're a quarterback.
Tom, hold on for 1 second. Okay, I don't know who that is, but that noise is really loud. I don't know who it is, so if they're
not
speaking,
please put
your phone. Okay, put your phone on mute, because I can't hear Tom. Go ahead, Tom, you got the floor. Go ahead, I apologize.
Yeah, yeah, so I think it's really nice to see Lamar Jackson just get to be himself and, like, really, like, look, is he the best passer in the NFL? No, of course not. But he has skills that others don't. And I think just, like, if you remember, like, all these, like, quarterbacks that would come in that were expected to be, like, pocket passers that weren't, I think we can appreciate someone like a Lamar Jackson so much more now, because there's only, like, 6 good quarterbacks in the NFL and the rest of them suck. So it's like, when you see a guy who's, like, who actually works, it's like, what do you want him to be like? You want him to be like friggin' Ryan Fitzpatrick or Baker Mayfield or one of these? I mean, like, let him be him. It's more effective than 90% of these guys out there. He's not Aaron Rodgers, but, like, he's effective.
Right.
So I think it's a good win for the Ravens. It's a great sign for them. But at the end of the day, they're going to make the playoffs anyways. The AFC North is absolute garbage. The Patriots are going to be there towards the end of the season. They're going to end up with a better record than the of Baltimore Ravens, probably. Unfortunately, I think that they'll have home field advantage when these teams eventually meet. But what I will say is this. I think the Patriots were a little overblown this season because their schedule has been absolute trash. I mean, they played all the worst teams in the NFL. And so, but once again, like, they're the Patriots. So, like, just because they've had a bad schedule doesn't mean that – I actually heard a stat the other day that Tom Brady has had five – I think it's either five or six different 10-game winning streaks in his career. Which is just absurd for an NFL quarterback. So, like, I don't know. The Ravens won this game, but it's a regular season game. I'm not taking anything away from the Patriots. If you put a gun to my head and ask me to pick in the playoffs who wins between the Patriots and the Ravens, this doesn't change my opinion one bit. I'd still pick the Pats. Unfortunately, I'm rooting for the Ravens because I like them, but it's just a game. It really is just a game for me.
You know what, Tom? I appreciate you calling into the show, man. It was definitely a pleasure talking to you, man. Hey, man, check us out, man, every Monday and Thursday at around the same time. Because you said you're in California, right? California?
Yep, for sure. Lakers
fans.
You guys watching the Lakers at all?
Hey, man, I know what? You do watch the Lakers, though. Professor X-Factor is a guy that you might want to talk to about the Lakers because I don't think he likes LeBron James too much. But that's another topic for another day, though.
<Uh-oh>. Yeah, I don't like him. I don't like him or his hairpiece. I think they are both absurd.
but Tom, man, I got to get back to my panel, but thank you for calling, man. And like I said, definitely follow us, man, on Facebook and Instagram. Definitely pleasure talking to you.
Appreciate it.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You guys. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen,
shout
that's
out to
our
Tom in Los Angeles.
California, man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But
I thought it was gonna be a Brady bastard.
But hey,
but
man,
you know what, I think a lot of people want badly to view this and label it as a blowout because it is.
Of course.
Like
of course. I mean,
like that's why they want to label it.
Check this out, Professor. Remember we talked about, what was it, yesterday, right? We talked and we said something, and you said something along the lines of, it's just like with Floyd Mayweather, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like people just want to see this guy lose.
Yeah, we were talking earlier today. That was earlier today.
Okay, so the thing about it is this, and I thought about that, what you said. And the only thing that I think that I would change a little different is this. The difference between Floyd Mayweather losing and people wanting to see him lose, that Floyd Mayweather, like I said, it's a single-man sport, it's not a team sport, and he's cocky. Floyd Mayweather is very, very cocky. Now, it's one thing to be cocky.
You don't think
New England
is?
No, hold on. I'm not, because guess what? I always tell you, I don't have a problem with the team. I just got a problem with one person. So, but this is what I'm saying. I look at Floyd Mayweather, and he's cocky, right? It's a difference between being cocky and... He doesn't do it now, and I've even admitted on this show that I have to take back a little bit of Tom Brady's crying because he doesn't do it as much now. I don't even hardly think he does do it like he used to back in the day, and that's why I said I didn't like because he used to cry all the damn time. You can't cry and be cocky at the same time. Floyd don't cry. He's either you're going to beat him or you're not. Floyd, he's arrogant as hell. People don't like him. They want
to
see his ass fall.
Never lost.
I get that. But what I'm saying is, like I told you before, I looked at Kobe Bryant the same way. You can't always bitch about getting calls your way when you always get them. When you always get them because
you
didn't get them this
time. Let me interject.
That's why
I kind of disagree. I think if you do get calls your way all the time, if the call is supposed to go your way, you're supposed to get it, and I don't give a damn if you don't get it. If you don't get it that one time, you damn right there's supposed to be a complaint. Absolutely.
Okay.
I don't care if you got 50 million calls before that. If I foul Kobe Bryant coming down the lane, and there's supposed to be a foul, and the referee doesn't call it, I expect him to pitch a fit on the court.
I got you.
There's a psychological scenario to this subject. And what it boils down to is this. In America, because of our controlled media from one side and our need to be fed information on the other side, what we collectively, based on the majority of Americans, do is we want to see the greatest be great. We then want to see the greatest fall if at any time we deem the greatest to have not been humbled or to have cheated.
Okay.
So it's 2019 and we on this show are speaking of Tom Brady and the Patriots as of 2019. Needless to say, the majority of people have not forgotten nor let go of the fact that this same Patriots dynasty were the same ones accused of cheating, the same ones proved to have been cheating and no longer just allegedly cheated, the same ones that were allegedly getting favoritism, which is why the commissioner then suspended people to try to make it seem like an easy
playing
field.
Right.
You
gotcha.
See what I'm saying? So
and then when they won the Super Bowl anyway, I know that pissed a lot of people off.
So that is a key factor.
Absolutely.
That you have to keep in mind as to why everybody, for the majority, collectively, wants to see anybody or company or group or team in that scenario with that history fail. It's not actually Patriots haters. It's not actually Brady haters. It's we are all for greatness unless you are not humble or you have been a cheater. Then we want to see the underdog win. We want to see anybody take you down. We can't fucking wait for you to lose.
Right.
Even if it's to the Southwick Seahawks high school team in Western Virginia. They don't give a damn. They just want to see you lose.
Right. Let me jump in here real quick. Now the thing about it, Professor said a great point, and I just want to clarify my position. You're right. If the call has to be made and it's the right call, you're absolutely correct. I never said that you should never give a person a call, even if it's the right one. What I'm saying is that there are a lot of people who don't get right calls, and they don't get the same way. And that's why I said I put Kobe Bryant in the same thing, because I don't want to seem like it's just this guy, because I put them both, I always talk about them both in the same fashion because of what I don't like about them. Not because they're great, it's because of what I don't like what they do. At the end of the day, if you get a call, sometimes you argue about a call that you should not get. And everybody does it. I get that. But guess what? There are times where there are calls that the world's seen, and they, and just like you and me and everybody else, that you know is a bullshit call that nobody else would get other than him. And you say, you know what? Well, even though in my heart I know it was some shit, but you know what? That's the rules. That's what people say. That's the rules. And you be like, you know that. You know what I mean? And that's all I'm saying.
But let me make this point. But let me make
there's another part to it.
We've had conversations before where we discuss when individuals get in trouble for things they shouldn't do. And you say, well, I wasn't the only one doing it. He did it too. Now, you've told me before that that's bullshit. You just mad because you're the one that got caught. But, so this is like the same thing in reverse in regards to Tom Brady, because he cries. Now, if Tom Brady had flags in his back pocket that he could throw on his own, like playing a pickup game of basketball at the crib, we say, oh, man, that's a foul, man. That's a foul. Yo, you hacked me. You hacked me, son. You was hacking me. You taking the ball out. You hacked me. You know what I mean? I could see you having a point. But to suggest to me that crying is enough to get a call in the NFL, no, it isn't. Because there have been a ton of quarterbacks that have cried
No, right. No, that's not right. I said it again. I said, yo, everybody does it. What I'm saying is this. This is what separates with him, because a lot of people, the first thing they always say is, you don't like greatness. And I get so tired of hearing that. It ain't got nothing to do with greatness. Is the dude great? Yes, he is.
I think a lot of that, too, is the fact that in real time, he may feel like it's a penalty in real time. He doesn't have the benefit of looking at the slow motion.
And guess what? You're tired of doing. And I got you. But what I'm saying is that I'm just so sick. If I'm grown, I'm a grown-ass man. If this is how I feel, don't tell me. Not, I'm not saying you. What I'm saying is, don't tell me and change my own narrative of what the hell I'm saying. What I'm saying to you is this. I don't like crybabies, and I've been consistent across the board. I don't care what sport it is, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, or whoever. I said I don't like that type of athlete. And all I'm saying is that at the end of the day, just like you said, right about now, it's not so more of the Patriots. And this is why I was saying to you earlier about Vaughn, about, Floyd Mayweather. You know, Floyd Mayweather, a lot of people, they don't like him because he's an arrogant asshole, right? But you've never seen Floyd Mayweather. Now, maybe, I don't know, I have never seen Floyd Mayweather go to a ref and say, hey, ref, man, you ain't doing your job. I've never seen him complain. Even if he needs to get low blow, to sucker punch, or whatever the case would be, he just kept it moving and he kept going. Because you know why?
Because I remember a time when Floyd collapsed in a corner and curled up in the fetal position.
What I'm saying is that he's not always saying, "Hey ref, do your job, blah 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 blah." He's never. Every time he wins, he said, "You know what? Okay, you got that." But I tell you what, at the end of this damn fight, we're going to see who the hell is victorious. And now he's undefeated, and he has the record to prove it. So that's all I'm saying. But the analogy is still correct, because people just want to see people fail who they don't like. Not because I don't want to see Tom Brady fail because I don't like the guy because he can't play. I just don't. If he changed, like I said, now he doesn't do it, so I can't bitch about it now.
That's why I appreciate any and every hater I ever had or will get in the future, because, ooh, I'm winning.
And I got to admit that. That's why I said I can't say about it now, because he has not for the past 3 years. I really can't bitch about him complaining about calls that he doesn't get. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is that once you have that stigma, and once you think about that, and it's been for so long, it's kind of hard to get rid of it, because that's when I see him, that's what I think of. And I've admitted that.
But see, here's the thing. My point is this. I understand your point. This is the point I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
Has he whined about calls before? Yes, he has.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers has whined about calls before.
Right.
They all do. I agree. You're right. They all do. Mm-hmm. However, I will say this. Crybaby, okay, whatever. He could possibly be a crybaby.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also a crybaby that wins. If he was a crybaby that lost all the time, we wouldn't hear a fucking peep about him being a crybaby. See, it's not him crying. It's the outcome that comes along with him crying. If he was crying and getting his ass kicked, nobody would care. But because he's crying and kicking ass and taking names at the same time, we automatically make the loose assumption that his crying is what's causing them to throw flags on him that they don't throw for anybody else.
Mm.
And that's kind of a problem.
Mm.
That's a problem. Well, because if it's any other, like you say with your Giants, like if we beat somebody any other way, then they say, well, no, the only reason you won is because, but see, it's the same thing on the flip side.
That's true. All right, I got you. That's the truth, though. We never convincingly win.
I want to hear how he said it again.
That's the truth, though. Feel what you're saying, Professor, but that is the honest truth. Every time we win, and this is what I said, it ain't just me. It ain't just the Giants. It's any team.
Right, it happens to the Steelers. It happens to the Chargers. It
right,
to the Eagles.
Right, just like we talk about Cam, right? We talk about Ed Hockley. We said Ed Hockley.
Oh, God, that motherfucker.
Ed Hockley, and this goes to my point. Ed Hockley would never say that to Tom Brady. That's right there is my issue. Ed Hockley would never say no shit like that to Tom Brady. Never. And at the end of the day, what I'm saying is this. Let's just say that we had four quarterbacks in the league that get the treatment that Tom Brady gets. Okay, I don't like it, but at least I can say, well, you know what? It's across the damn board with certain type of players. But no, it was never like that for a long time.
The difference is,
that's what I'm saying.
The difference is that when Cam Newton was busting everybody's ass, Cam Newton was dabbing all over the football field. He was
absolutely
the opposite of humble. He was a cocky son of a bitch.
But that's why I
and
said about Floyd.
Right. He was exactly what he was, the epitome of what you told us you don't like. Now, telling me that Brady when a safety from an opposing team guarantees victory and you throw three touchdowns past that safety's head and you walk up to that sonbitch after each touchdown.
Oh, I got no problem with that.
Point in his face
with that.
To make sure he know about it, you're definitely a cocky bastard.
No, absolutely.
But
I'm going to
tell you what every
NFL
player, you know what every other NFL player also says about Brady? He's probably one of the most competitive motherfuckers in that league.
I got you. I
wouldn't give a damn if he had a box of Kleenex on the sideline.
Wait a minute. Hold on. That safety in Pittsburgh, I have no problem with Tom Brady did to him. I have no problem with what he did to him. Now, what you can say
that
on the flip side.
Hilarious.
Right. Well, now, what you, okay, I'm going to say it again. I got no problem with what he did because at the end of the day, I said, oh, shit. As much as I don't like this dude, I said, I don't think that you should have said that. But, and he embarrassed the hell out of him. But once again, there's a flip side of that, what you said, Professor. You said, well, you know what? Cam was dabbing. He was an arrogant bastard. Tom Brady goes up to him and points at him. And everybody thinks
that
you know, he's competitive.
Said, that makes
him
cocky.
But, right, that makes him cocky. Right, but the flip side of that coin too is that makes him cocky. But nobody is sitting there and they bash this dude for being cocky. They bashed Cam. Cam act like you ain't never been there before.
Because
this motherfucker was the worst.
The players in the league treat Brady, the Brady Belichick combination, a lot like they did Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. Like, don't talk shit to my guy. Talk shit to your old man over there.
I got you.
You said something, you. Mike, and then this son of a bitch done put up 45 points.
No, I got you.
Don't say nothing.
No, I got you. I'm just
like,
saying.
That's what Smithy, like, you don't typically see Brady come out and be all smiling and dancing in the camera and dancing before the game and shit. That's not what you get from Brady. If
I got you.
The opposing team he's getting ready to play is quiet, Brady typically says nothing. Now, when they do like the guy Smith did in Pittsburgh and run their mouth before the game, when I know that me and Belichick got a week to prepare before we play you, oh, yeah, Brady going to talk shit. During the game, not before, not after, but while he's kicking your ass, he's going to make sure you know about it.
I got no problem with shit. I got no problem with shit.
But
like I said, at the end of the day. You know,
but they lost.
Yeah,
they lost.
It
sounds like they got out physical in that game.
You talking about yesterday's game? They damn sure did.
You got that many yards on the ground? They had, 200-plus yards on the ground?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, like I said, Mark Ingram was showing.
That's a physical fucking game.
Yeah, Mark Ingram showed his ass. Showed his ass. But, you know.
Now, I saw
the
highlight of the fumble. Didn't like that. He got to work. I don't like the lack of ball security. He didn't have a habit of doing that shit when he was in Alabama or in New Orleans that I can really remember. But
gotcha.
I wasn't happy about the fumble that I saw. I didn't like that. But he needed it.
Gotcha. Well, at the end of the day, man, we're going to go ahead. We're going to move on. We're going to move forward. Cleveland Browns. Check this one out, man. Cleveland Browns. They waive Jermaine Whitehead, a DB for the Cleveland Browns, got waived this morning because he said some things on Twitter that he should not have said. Now, at the end of the day, man, okay, let me just go ahead and just break this down for those that don't know, okay? The Browns right now are in dire straits. They are not playing their greatest football right now. The Broncos tight end Noah Fant ran Jermaine Whitehead over on the way to a 75-yard touchdown reception, right? And Jermaine Whitehead, he even admitted that he was not playing his greatest football, his best football. Now, there's a guy by the name of
Destin. Evident by the fact that he didn't even try to wrap Noah Fant's legs up. He tried to hit him with a shoulder shot and got ran the fuck over.
Now, What happened is a former NFL player by the name of Dustin Fox, who appears on the post-show game in the Browns radio network, he was pretty much, you know, talking about him, talking about his game, you know. Basically, he commentated what he saw. And in response to Fox's criticism, this is what Whitehead wrote. This is what he wrote, okay, on Twitter. He says, and I quote, "Come get it in, blood bitch made ass little boy. I'm out there with a broken hand. Don't get smoked." Well, he also wrote, "I'm going to kill you, bitch. That's on blood." To another Twitter user. Now, this is what he said on Instagram, Jermaine Whitehead, and I quote. He says, and now I'm going to read this to y'all, and please forgive me if I sound like I can't read, because this is how he wrote it, okay? Because I had to read it.
I understand what he was trying to say in the first place. Like, come get it in, blood.
Right. You know,
ass, little boy.
So I don't want y'all to think that it's me that I can't copy and read. Okay, so this is what he says, and I quote. "Crazy world. They line it up and they say anything in the book to you," he said in the caption with a photo of himself, right? Then he says, "They tell you to take the high road. When yo, not you, when your whole life, when your whole life you was taught to meet fire with fire. I do apologize for my performance, but having a broke hand and a strong fear of letting my team down is my downfall. Whatever happens, happens. Ain't tripping. They probably going to still talk crazy about this, me getting smoke off my chest. I don't need one like this from me to me. Keep your head up, homie. Can't nobody F with you. I dare them to try." Now, okay. Professor, I mean, let me go to Executive first. Executive, do you have anything that you want to say about this Jermaine Whitehead being released by the Cleveland Browns and he's pretty much telling people, "I'm going to kill you, bitch, that's on blood," and all that good stuff? Like, what's your thoughts? Do you have anything that you'd like to say?
Look, I'm going to try to say something this time because I was talking the whole damn time the last two subjects, but watch them not even hear me say nothing this time. Watch. Hello?
Okay. Yes.
Oh.
Okay,
I'm back. I was commenting on the last two topics. Ain't nobody heard me, so I said, "Oh, okay. Guess I was turned off." But yeah, with regard to this topic, nope. Yeah, I ain't got nothing to say to that. Moving on.
You got something to say,
people,
Professor?
Stupid people.
Like all day. You got something to say, Professor? I hear you.
Man, you can't. I think part of being a professional athlete means being able to control your emotions.
Absolutely.
Like all three of us have been watching this particular sport for decades. Even.
Yep. Honey, combined years.
All of us remember a good chunk. Like, we remember bucketfuls of great players that have played in this league, and every last one of them had one thing in common: the ability to control their emotions. You know, some were able to do so more so than others. Saw some other instances back in the day where we shouldn't have kept them. But, you know, when you get on Twitter and you're having a war with a commentator
and a fan, right?
But why? Right. You hear more foul shit from the mouths of fans on game day from the stands while you are playing.
While you're playing, absolutely.
Other players have said more fucked up shit to you on the field than what the reporter said in his comments about you.
Because the reporter got to be
and
professional.
Broken hand or not, broken hand or not, that's not an excuse to perform a solid tackle. You did not wrap Noah Fant up. You went in there shoulder first, like you thought you was Ray Lewis or some fucking body, and you was just going to be big enough and powerful enough and strong enough to hit that guy with a shoulder and knock him over, or get him to knock him off balance to make him fall and you can make a tackle. You should have wrapped up. When Nebraska played Florida State back in the day, Trev Alberts, outside linebacker, wore number 34, had his hand wrapped up in a cast. He was still wrapping up Charlie Ward when he was making sacks. I remember when Warren Sapp fucked his hand up, had his hand wrapped in a cast. He was still wrapping up when he was making tackles.
Right.
You don't
know.
Hand being broke is not an excuse. If your ass is out there, then they got you out there because you're supposed to be able to perform all of the duties of your job. But if you're telling me that you didn't wrap them up because your hand was broken, what the fuck were you doing out there then, Whitehead?
As far as I'm concerned, JPP was still making sacks with a club.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't want to hear nothing. Like I said, I'm done.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, you have no fucking – but it doesn't matter because you ain't on the team no more.
Now, I'm going to play this clip before we move on to the next subject, though. But on this morning, a clip on Get Up.
Everybody's trying to hear that bullshit.
ESPN, courtesy of ESPN, Get Up. This was what they were talking about, the Jermaine Whitehead situation. And this is what they had to say. Take a listen.
Well, there's two separate pieces of it. I want to talk about the team and the game and all of that. But when you see him going off on social media after a game, you had an interesting thought.
Yeah, I mean, it just felt like what a soft move, right? Like, he responded to a tweet from someone that talked about the blown coverage. It was blown coverage. It was awful. They didn't tackle, and they looked terrible. He admitted that he had an awful game, but for you to lose it, I would like for you to peruse the Twitter timelines or Instagram timelines of any woman that is on television that has the unmitigated gall to do things like pick one side versus another in a game and see the kind of things that we have to deal with and the kind of things people say to us. You got fired because you couldn't handle someone saying what was quite obvious, that your coverage sucked. And it is such an incredibly soft move. Mm-hmm. Grow a woman up.
Mm-hmm. Damn. Damn, really? That was foul. You see, you didn't have to say that.
That I got to say, that I didn't like. Because if it was a man talking about a woman's sport and told a woman to man up, the world would lose their fucking mind.
You know what? And that's why I played it. I ain't going to lie. That's why I played it. Because I just knew that you was going to go there. And guess what?
I'm just
frying chicken.
No,
fuck that.
I agree with you. Look at yourself, Professor. I actually agree with you. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if you was the dude that said that, it'd have been all hell up in arms right now.
Cam Newton told that lady, oh, it's funny to hear a woman ask
that, you know,
about
how to do
routes.
Right.
What?
Right. I actually
That's
agree with
what you
man. Look, man.
Right. Now, if you do an in-studio interview, how do you now explain your comments to that motherfucker when he's sitting in your face? If you want him to woman up, are you saying he should treat you like everybody else? Because if that's the case, Jim Everett almost beat the shit out of Jim Rohn because he kept calling him Chris Everett.
Yep, sure did.
I mean, Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan got in the locker room and got face to face with a reporter and told him, No, come in. Because I want to
look
him in the eye when you ask this question.
Yep,
come in.
You try to, yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
but you know,
I will say this, though.
I will say, hold on real quick, Professor. I will say this. She's right on everything that she said, though. Regardless of how she did, she is right.
She's
right. However, that woman up shit, she could have kept to herself. But I played that because
now,
I wanted to
say this.
I got exactly what I expected.
I'm not sure that Whitehead was supposed to be covering Noah Fant, though, is the problem. I'm not sure. Yeah. I think Cleveland might have been in a zone. I'm not sure that. Because Whitehead dropped straight back. He dropped back and dropped toward the middle of the field. It looked almost like they were running a zone, at least from his position. It looked as if he was running a zone, like soft middle. It did not look like they were in man-to-man coverage. And then if they were, that's just stupidity from a coaching standpoint, because why the fuck would you put Whitehead with a club on his hand and line him up in man-to-man coverage against Noah fucking Fant? I don't think there's an NFL coach in the league dumb enough to do that.
Right.
I don't know. Now, I mean, maybe she should brain up, because that just doesn't sound like it makes sense.
Well, speaking of NFL coaches.
Okay, go ahead, Church. I mean, go ahead, executive.
I got a question.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Oh, shit.
Here we go.
Shit.
Nagy, Gase, Shermer, Quinn. Who's first to go? Who's next to get a win?
Gase is first to go. And next to get a win, you know what, man? I know I'm going to get some shit by saying this. No, this was the weekend of the upset, so I think it's going to continue. I think we're going to win tonight. Gase is going to be the first to go. Sherman's going to get his next win. Ain't saying much, but that's what I think. How about you, Professor?
What's your safety's name again?
What's my safety's name again? Talk about your Bill Peppers?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Okay, you're not going to answer the question. Who's the first coach?
This is what I've noticed. A great deal of the interceptions that your boy Prescott throws.
Mm-hmm.
You ever notice that a lot of those are caught by safeties?
Mm.
Typically, the ones that are caught by corners are caught when receivers are running out routes, like deep outs. It's almost as if he doesn't have enough, he doesn't possess enough touch to throw over the middle. And it's almost to, like, go over the linebackers and in front of the safety. That's a very precise pass. We praise Peyton Manning for the entirety of his career for being able to consistently make that fucking throw.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, making throws to the outside, it's almost as if he doesn't have the arm strength to get the ball out there on time where the fuck it needs to be. I've watched Dak Prescott throw a lot of balls on deep outs or medium range outs, that 8 to 10 yard out.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched him throw a lot of balls low and to the inside. And when he throws them high, he throws them to the outside, leaving his receiver no chance to catch that pass. I honestly don't think that Dallas is going to win tonight. I really don't. And I kind of expect Dak Prescott to have a fucked up game.
Gotcha.
Like, I expect it.
So what's your answer to the question?
Well, hell.
I enjoy what you just said, though, but who's the first coach to go and who's the first coach to get the next win?
Well, he just said Shermer.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So who's the first coach to go? I'll say Gase.
Man, shit, I don't. Oh, man.
Okay, who should be?
Gase.
You really think Gase?
Over
Nagy? So you think
over Nagy? I don't know.
Fire both of them at the same time.
Okay.
I'll put it to you like this. Out of everybody at the beginning of the season, only one of them had a playoff-bound team, and that's Atlanta. So them having one win, them having one win and a Pro Bowl, Super Bowl. Out of seat. Now, because he's also gotten them to a Super Bowl, could be the reason why he gets 1 year of a leeway.
Like, their play calling sucks in Atlanta, though, man.
Right, but what is Nagy doing? It's like Nagy doesn't have the balls to bench Trubisky.
Like, he's not making any changes. Nothing.
Right.
But he's not
taking any chances appropriately because of Mitchell being your quarterback. But how come you don't have the balls to bench your quarterback unless the ownership in Chicago is saying he can't? And if that's the case, then he shouldn't get fired.
Got you. But, you know, people always
you
get
see what I'm saying?
That they didn't do. I remember at the beginning of the season,
Remember when we thought Chicago was going to win their first game of the season? And they
absolutely
lost.
And they lost, right?
And I remember specifically saying, I think the reason that they lost is because they would not take the handcuffs off of Mitchell Trubisky. You've got to let him fucking play.
What are
you paying him for?
Right.
My God, man, that should make my ass itch.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I think it should be based just on a simple fact: you lost to Miami. I can care less how you got it twice. I don't give a damn.
Well, you see, I was waiting for you to say that, Gary.
Hey man, well,
I was
well,
waiting
I'm
for you to say that. You know why? You know why?
Why?
Because, see, I refrain from saying anything like that because I'm not gonna talk about the Jets losing to Miami until after the Giants beat the Jets next week.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, you better make sure your team loses
to the worst team in the NFL first before you start talking about that motherfucker. Well,
you know what?
I don't think the Jets have the talent that they need up and down that roster. I don't know what it was that made Jets fans believe that just getting Le'Veon Bell was going to be just the thing they needed. Like, you need more than that, pimp.
Yeah.
I want to take another thing into consideration, though, that people probably forgot. There was a 2-week period over the summer and spring where it was a well-known fact that the reason the general manager of the Jets got fired is because Adam Gase did not want the Le'Veon Bell, did not want C.J. Mosley, and wanted to go a different route with the roster. So is this the result of the previous GM's roster that Gase didn't want?
I think it may be. I think it may be.
If that's the case, then if I'm Gase, you can't fire me. I didn't want these motherfuckers, and I told you that. I made it known in July. I didn't want these motherfuckers. So whatever the result is, I told you before game one, before week one, whether we were undefeated or winless, I told you these are not the motherfuckers I wanted. So I don't think Adam Gase gets fired if that is truly what happened in Jersey. If that's truly how it went down between the GM and the head coach, then you can't hold him accountable for that because these aren't the players he wanted, which is why Le'Veon Bell was on the trade block and Jamal Adams was on the trade block and Robbie Anderson was on the trade block because he didn't want this squad. The GM did.
I got you.
You see what I'm saying?
I forgot about that.
That's why I brought it up. And that's why I'm saying if somebody is to go, in order, it should be.
It's going to be a Nagy. It should be
Nagy if as long as ownership is not the reason that Mitchell Trubisky is still starting. Now, if ownership is saying you can't bench him, you can't pull him, blah blah blah, then Dan Quinn should go because you had a Super Bowl caliber team the last 3 years with a Pro Bowl quarterback and haven't won 2 games, and you've got the best, well, not the best because that's DeAndre Hopkins. You got the second best wide receiver in the game. You got the second best wide receiver in the game and an entire lineup, and then, now you trading away Mohamed Sanu like you could just give away people? I don't know.
You know what else I don't like? You know what I don't like about the league from a league-wide standpoint? And I don't understand why they continuously do. They'll take a rookie quarterback, right? And they will.
You got 30 seconds,
give
him
maybe 25. They give him maybe 25% of the playbook to learn. And then somehow in that second season, they just expect him to automatically know 100% of the playbook. And I don't like that. And I think in terms of quarterback progression, I like the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers brought Big Ben along from being a rookie to being where he is now. They babied Big Ben for 2 years before they cut him loose and took the handcuffs off of him, so to speak. But, you know, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Ladies and gentlemen, All things must come to an end. Gotta get up out of here. I want to thank my brothers, man, Professor X Factor, my brother, you Drakefoot. You know what I'm saying? Repping that MetLife Stadium. And this is Coach Gary Ward Jr., a.k.a. All Day, signing off. And remember, it's never goodbye. It's always see you later. Peace.